The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
So after learning the NFL would appeal the original six-game suspension given by disciplinary officer Sue Robinson to Deshaun Watson, we now know who the appeal officer will be, and it is not Commissioner Roger Goodell. Former New Jersey Attorney General Peter C. Harvey will take over to hear the appeal and ultimately come up with what the NFL deems a proper suspension and potentially beyond. So let's look back at the Deshaun Watson timeline here so far this week. Former federal judge Sue Ells Robinson, as I mentioned, handed him that six-game suspension. That was on Monday. The NFL appealed the suspension on Wednesday. Then yesterday, Commissioner Roger Goodell appointed Peter C. Harvey to hear the appeal. And so hello, everyone. Welcome in to First Take. I am Shay Cornett. Dominique Foxworth here, Jordan Cornett, Chris Canty alongside. And guys, look, it sounds like the NFL is looking for an indefinite suspension, some sort of fine, perhaps some treatment. And if that's the case, maybe Goodell just should have taken over this from the beginning. But nonetheless, we had Sue L. Robinson. Now we've got Mr. Harvey in the mix. Do you like the fact that he appointed someone to be an appeal officer? Canty, I'll go to you first.
No, I mean, this is the NFL having the same old process, but they're putting it in a different packaging. That's ultimately what it is. And I think one of the things that we have to keep in mind when it comes to this new process with an independent arbitrator is that the ruling that she made is binding. So it's not as if the NFL or the NFLPA could have appealed the actual decision that she came to, which is Deshaun Watson is guilty of, you know, jeopardizing the integrity of the shield. This is strictly about the punishment that she levied on Deshaun Watson based on the precedent that had been in previous cases of this nature. And so now, just looking at it, Judge Robinson gave Roger Goodell and the NFL all the ammunition that they needed in order to take Deshaun Watson off of the field for an entire calendar year. Now, Goodell can try to frame it as if it's somebody else that's making the decision, but ultimately this is on his desk and he's already made his determination based on what we're hearing from the court of public opinion, which is Deshaun Watson ain't going to play football in 2022.
Right, so but I guess my question, why bring in all these other people when you had the authority in the beginning to just make the decision?
Because it's about perception. The process is about perception. Rather than in previous cases, Roger Goodell makes a ruling and we all talk about how bad it is and how dumb his ruling is. Now, instead, he put Judge Robinson out there. She made the decision. And then we talk about how bad it is and how stupid it is. And now Roger can come in like a white knight on his horse and say, no, I will save the day. I am with the people. I recognize how seriously we should take this. And the NFL stands against mistreating women. And in actuality, I think this is a part of it that frustrates me the most. And like, I like Roger Goodell. I think his job is incredibly hard, and I think he's a smart and decent man. All that aside, his incentives and his responsibility is to protect the profitability of the National Football League. And I think that they are trying to position themselves as if they are a progressive organization that's on the right side of history, when in actuality, we know how the NFL feels about violence, sexual and otherwise, against women, by the fact that when Deshaun Watson was trying to get traded, every team that didn't have a quarterback was beating his door down, and he got the richest contract in the history of professional football, all guaranteed. So, if you care about the things the way you say you care about them, and if you want to be an organization that represents these progressive causes that you are presenting yourself as, then you have to understand that it's not just about making these big-time decisions, but it's about all the other small decisions in between.
Right. And it's an opportunity to set a precedence, right? Mm-hmm. And that's why I feel like it's somewhat of a miss by Roger Goodell to not be the guy that says, I don't need Harvey. I didn't need Robinson. I want to be the one to set this new precedent by me ruling swiftly and with an iron fist on this, when I'm letting people know precedent's going to be set and it's going to be a harsh penalty. At the very least, the baseline will be one season. Now, when you look at it and you can see that Harvey's a guy with his background, you know that he's going to come after him and you're going to have Goodell in his ear. But yet still, for appearance, if you're going to fly in on that horse, be the one that makes the ultimate decision and let it come from your mouth. I think that's more powerful.
And look, from what I understand, as I said earlier, like an indefinite suspension, at least a year, treatment is, I think, probably what should be at the top of this list, something that wasn't handed down by Sue L. Robinson. Quite frankly, I hadn't heard it be talked about at all up until this appeal came about. And for me, I'm like, let's put this at the very top of the list. The games matter, yes, but also the treatment is important.
Yeah, if you've read the details of the accusations, it's clear that Deshaun Watson has a problem.
Yeah.
And yes.
That is not to absolve him of his guilt in this or his responsibility in this. It feels like, with all the accounts, that he has a problem, and treatment is important in that situation. However, treatment's not effective if the person is not willing to accept their culpability.
Any remorse.
Show some remorse
somewhere.
None of us have Ray Rice-level video evidence of what actually happened in that room, so none of us can be 100% certain, but it certainly feels like there's enough circumstantial evidence, or at least there was for Judge Robinson, to say that he's more likely done these things than not. And in that case, if you want treatment to be effective, the first step of treatment is saying, I have a problem. And until he's willing to say that, I'm not sure how effective treatment can even be.
And also another reason why swift action now, after this has been drawn out for so long, and I understand the process, but you have to think about these victims yet again. This is leading our show. Mm-hmm. It's leading shows everywhere. How do you think these victims are feeling when they turn on and see Deshaun Watson's face plastered on there? We've identified there's clearly a problem. To what level of suspension is going to happen? These conversations need to stop so they can move on with their lives and so we can handle this once and for all so they don't need to keep reliving this in the news cycle.
Well, Jordan, we don't have to speculate how the victims feel because we heard from Ashley Solis yesterday.
Yeah,
and
right.
She said that she was frustrated in how the NFL levied the 6-game suspension from Deshaun Watson, not saying it's enough, and the message that it sends to little girls everywhere about situations that might they might encounter where they're stripped of their agency or somebody is preying on them, predatory behavior, as we saw with Deshaun Watson. But here's the thing. Going back to Judge Robinson's ruling, she said that the NFL met their burden of proof in the case. So that's where we're
She's laid it up for them.
So there is no debating whether or not Deshaun Watson jeopardized the integrity of the NFL.
Right.
Now it's about the process, and Roger Goodell has already put it out there in the ether that the reason why he's not overseeing the appeals process is because of his busy schedule. And I put that in air quotes because of the Hall of Fame weekend and all of those things. Again, it speaks to Dominique's point. If this is a priority for you, if you're so intent on setting a new precedent, you should be the person that's
set
out
the
there
precedent.
Making the decision and setting the precedent.
Right.
The other thing that we also have to consider is if you're setting this precedent with Deshaun Watson, we also have to look at other people that have run afoul of the personal conduct policy.
Yep.
And I'm not just talking about players. We're talking about owners, too, because we have 3 owners who recently found themselves in situations through action or inaction that have stripped women of their agency and have compromised their welfare.
Mm-hmm.
And what the NFL has done has amounted to a slap on the wrist for those guys.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's the problem that I have, the hypocrisy of it, the double standards. And this is far too important of an issue to have that be a part of the conversation.
And I take that to you, Dominique, because I'm curious, having been, you know, the leader of the NFLPA, is that also a big reason why Roger Goodell is deflecting to Harvey, because he knows about the past behavior of the people he works for, these owners?
I mean, I don't think so, honestly. Like, I think that the owners have, when you have a CBA, lawyers are, or judges are reticent to, like, change anything in a collective bargaining agreement because it's presumed that two parties of equal power came to an agreement. It's not true. The NFL has more power and leverage over the players. So they are going to, like 9 times out of 10, every major sports league in this country, the league side has an advantage in CBA negotiations and it comes out in the CBA. And when you are in there negotiating, you are not going to lay on the table and or pound on the table and fight for discipline issues because no one in that room thinks that they're ever going to have these discipline.
Exactly.
And the same thing comes down to how the owners are impacted by the way that the rules are administered. You're asking players who have very short careers and short earning potential to potentially give up something on their side in order to make sure that the owners go through a fair process. Because we're talking about fair processes. Right now, Roger Goodell works for the 31 owners. And Roger Goodell is also the one who is expected to administer some sort of punishment to his employer. While also the people who have oversight over this are the other owners who are not interested in creating a paradigm in which owners are being penalized. So if we want to talk about a fair process, the way that the players are going through this process, it's become more and more fair as we've gone on. The way the owners live in this discipline process is, I mean, if nothing else, it has the perception of impropriety, if not an outright out-and-out bias setup, and it's unfair.
Look, at this point, we're under 40 days, I believe, until the start of the NFL season. This has been no short of a clown show, it feels like, from the beginning. The way we've gone back and forth and round and waited, and now, again, with the appeal, and again, I understand the process, but my goodness.
It's not going away, though, Shay.
It's not. We're going to talk about this up to the start of the season.
Absolutely, and it could be beyond that because we're hearing rumblings that Deshaun Watson and the NFLPA could file a federal lawsuit if the NFL is more heavy-handed with the discipline that they're going to dole out with Roger Goodell's designee. So, again, this is going to be something that gets drug out, and this is going to be something that mars the NFL season potentially because you could be talking about other owners being dragged
right.
in this as well.
Right.
And that's what becomes the biggest interest to me, knowing where it's probably headed here, knowing they're going to go for a season, maybe beyond that, a couple more games into the season beyond. How does Deshaun Watson handle that part? If he's going to show a place where he says, I understand culpability, I do show remorse, that would be the place where he could do it, not dragging this out. But it doesn't seem like it goes
No, because he's remaining, saying innocent the entire time. So we'll see. Again, under 40 days to the start of the season. So let's turn our attention perhaps maybe to what's going on a little bit more on the football field. The Rams and their quarterback, Matthew Stafford, dealing with some problems. He's been dealing with elbow pain. He did throw during individual and 7-on-7 drills yesterday, but he didn't take part in the team's reps, and it sounds like he won't for the remainder of the camp. If you remember, Stafford dealt with an elbow injury last season, and he received an injection in his right elbow during the offseason. Did not throw during spring workouts. So this elbow, guys, continues to be a problem. Here is Rams head coach Sean McVay on his quarterback.
There were some things that he pushed through last year. We tried some things in the offseason, you know, however you want to look at, you know, some of the different treatments that we had tried, and I don't know that it got different results than what we had hoped, but I think we were hoping that, you know, some of the pain would have been alleviated, and that's really the goal. And so being able to pivot and adjust is kind of what you're seeing, but this isn't something that we're totally off, you know, caught off guard with. I think going into camp, we knew that we wanted to have a modified approach and a progressive build, you know, but then when you could just really see, I know how tough he is, and when he's really pushing through, could he do it? Yes. Is that the best thing? We didn't think so.
Brought to you by the Capital One Venture Card. Earn unlimited double miles on every purchase every day, and you can use those miles on any travel purchase. Plus, earn unlimited 5x miles on hotels and rental cars booked through Capital One Travel. Your next trip is closer than you think with the Venture Card from Capital One. Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
First Take fans, listen up. Have you heard you can listen to episodes of this very show ad-free on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership? That's right. All your favorite First Take episodes can be heard on Amazon Music ad-free. But that's not all. You can listen to other top podcasts like The Low Post and PTI ad-free as well. They also have favorite shows like The Daily, Part of My Take, and Up First, all without ads. You know what this means? Uninterrupted listening, so no more cliffhangers. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts, so we know they definitely have something for you. And it's already included in your Prime membership. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/firsttake. That's amazon.com/firsttake to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
All right, guys, I'm going to paraphrase. This isn't great news for a team that's trying to repeat as Super Bowl champions. So we're going to make this a little bit of a broader topic here. Does this make you more confident or equally as confident in the Rams or perhaps a bit concerned, Dom?
I think more confident, honestly. Like, I understand you. I appreciate you setting up. Like, none of us are saying, oh, awesome.
This gets you really excited.
I'm hyped now.
But once you hear Sean McVay talk and you understand that having played in this game, there are different types of coaches, and there are different types of organizations. Some of them trust their players, and some of them don't. And most of the time, particularly when non-quarterbacks, if you're like, hey, my hip's a little sore today, get out there and practice is exactly. the response. And I've never been a franchise quarterback, so maybe I'm a little bit bitter, but when things ain't feel right, nobody was like, hey, go ahead and chill out. And sometimes those things catch up to you. So the fact that they're being as potentially proactive as possible and not wasting his reps during camp give me a little bit more confidence than if he was out there throwing and they're like, yeah, his elbow's a little messed up and he's still throwing. Like, man, y'all want to play in February. You don't need to be worried about these August reps. You don't need to put him out there until it's time to put him out there. And honestly, if he has these issues, giving the backups more reps is good, because it seems like it might be an issue that pops up for a couple of games, a game or two here or there. Having a prepared backup would be nice, and this is only getting them closer to that.
Oh, look, I just want to point this out, though. Matthew Stafford was at the top, tied at the top, for the most interceptions last season. Having a sore elbow is not necessarily a good thing heading into the season. Confidence level is where, Canty?
I'm concerned. I'm concerned about this because you're talking about a quarterback with an injured elbow. And the last time we heard about a quarterback who had his elbow barking, it was Big Ben in Pittsburgh when he was in his age 37 season. And we know how that movie ended. And so looking at the sheer volume of passes that Matt Stafford threw last year, it was 740 passes.
Yeah.
Now, he threw, for context, he threw 819 passes combined in his last two seasons in Detroit.
Oh,
and so you're talking about a guy that has a lot more throws under his arm this past season, and a guy that played in a lot more games than he's typically used to. Matt Stafford's only been in the playoffs three times before last year.
And never won a game until
exactly.
this year.
So you're talking about him playing 16, at the most 17 games. Last year he played 21 games. So you have to be a little bit concerned about this. The last point I'll make is Matt Stafford essentially gave up his offseason in order to rehab this elbow. I mean, he's taking the PRP shots. He's been going through the prehab and all of those different things. And yet we're talking about 2 weeks in the training camp, this thing barking to the point where he's got to be shut down. Guys, we got to be concerned, especially with the way that the Rams have built their roster.
Yeah.
You're talking about this being a top-end heavy team in terms of overall talent, not a whole lot of depth because of less needs philosophy with F them picks. So I'm just saying, I get that most teams can't overcome QB1 going down, but I'm just saying if the quarterback has to miss a couple of games and you're talking about a backup stepping in, I don't know that there's going to be the supporting cast to be able to survive, especially in the NFC West.
But let's talk about that supporting cast then. Let's insert Allen Robinson, a guy that you covered there in Chicago on that beat, a guy who thrived despite an offense that lacked competence for almost his entire time.
Thank you for that,
that he was there.
Thank you for that.
And we watched Allen Robinson and said, man, I wish more for this guy. I wish Allen Robinson could have an elite quarterback, an elite head coach, a sound run game behind him, an offensive line to get in time to have the ball delivered to him. Allen Robinson is fitting to shine for this Rams squad. And I think for what you talk about, of course, that injury, when you listen to that sound, it's hard to say you're going to be confident. Of course you're not going to be. But look at those additions. Those additions matter. Of course you got Von Miller leaving, but Bobby Wagner and his Super Bowl resume and background and being the leader and voice he can be, Troy Hill makes you forget about Williams. Is that fair to say? And then you look at what this group can be, that run game as well. I really like the Rams. I'm as confident as I was a year ago. Now that you look at history, it's been 18 years since the team's been able to go run it back to back, and that was Bill Belichick and Tom Brady, and they only did it once. So I'm not going to say they're going to win the Super Bowl, but I'm confident about this group. And, oh, by the way, the NFC, it ain't the AFC.
Yeah, it's a little bit easier. And you brought up Belichick and Brady looms over any conversations of age.
Yes, sir.
Like, how the hell? What is you? I don't get
it's
it.
The avocado ice cream, bro.
It ain't no damn. Okay, avocado ice cream. Where are you getting them avocados from? But it's impressive that he's able to continue to produce at this level and not have to take time off. He's not icing his elbow. Like, it blows my mind. So I don't know what it is.
I'll say this about Matthew Stafford. He's overcome some injuries now. Like, this is a guy who had broken bones in his back. I remember, what was that, 2018, 2019?
Yeah,
I was covering the Bears at the time, so I was covering Matthew Stafford when they pulled him. I'm like, man, this smells of, like, Peyton Manning or something, you know? Like, they don't always bounce back from those kind of problems, back problems, and Stafford clearly did. He moved to another team. He won a Super Bowl. So if he know, I mean, okay, we've talked about his age. He knows how to rehab his body and get himself right. I'm not him. I don't know, but it makes me have a little bit more confidence.
Right.
In him in this Rams
squad. And your core leadership's there, right? I mean, that's what you really look at. If you're going to try and repeat and do what you did a season ago, you have to have those core voices. And for the most part, Chris, they got him.
No, they do have him, but there's a reason why there hasn't been a repeat chance since 2003, 2004.
Yeah.
So, I mean, like, it's been 20 years.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that layered on top of this has to be a little bit concerning for Matt Stafford.
Well, I guess I agree with you that they won't be the repeat champs, but I think they're not because they won't be good enough. Like, we don't factor in the luck of the playoffs in the single game elimination. So, like, I guess my reason for confidence is not saying they're going to go back-to-back. It's they're going to enter the playoffs, and we're going to be like, they got a chance. Like, let's not forget, they just added a Hall of Famer to their defense that already has two Hall of Famers on it.
Yeah.
So, like, that defense is going to be part of the reason why Matt Stafford isn't going to have to air it out potentially throughout the course of this year. He can rest. And, you know, when you got Aaron Donald closing out the Super Bowl and closing out the NFC Championship game, it gives you a lot more confidence when you know you got guys like that, Jalen Ramsey, who can turn the game in any particular play. And then Bobby Wagner, who's one of the best and smartest players when it comes to play action. That's going to be very important when they play the 49ers because they've struggled against the 49ers. And the 49ers...
That's an understatement.
Yeah.
That's an understatement.
Yeah, right. And Bobby Wagner is one of the very few linebackers in this league that you watch play action, and he knows it's a pass, it seems like, before the offensive line does. And that's going to be important because, man, Shanahan loves to pick on those linebackers.
Dom, I'm with you on the Rams defense. I think they're going to be another top-flight defense this year, even with losing Von Miller. It's a championship-caliber defense.
Right.
Not taking that away. But one of the things that helped that defense last year was the offense dictating the complexion of the game by scoring points and tilting the scoreboard as such where it made opposing offenses one-dimensional.
Mm-hmm.
With Matthew Stafford's elbow barking, I don't know that that's going to be the case. And God bless you if he's going to miss some games because you're talking about John Wolford having to come in. And I'm pretty sure that Allen Robinson didn't sign up with the L.A. Rams to have John Wolford throwing passes to him. Not trying to disparage him, but there's a huge difference between him and Matt Stafford. So, guys, again, we're talking about 2 weeks in the training camp and this guy having to be shut down. I don't think this is the same situation that we saw with Dak Prescott and his scapula bothering him early on in training camp last year. We're talking about a quarterback's elbow.
Mm-hmm.
That screams of UCL, that screams of Tommy John, which is what we saw with Ben Roethlisberger. I am concerned about this injury just because of the importance of Matt Stafford. And this team has shifted overnight from being a running team to a passing team. Last year, they were the 25th ranked run game. That's where they're at. And now you have no Andrew Whitworth. So I don't imagine that that run game is going to have this huge resurgence that's going to be able to bail out Matt Stafford if he can't be 100%.
Who is Joe Noteboom? That's what we need to find out because he's the guy replacing Andrew Whitworth.
Right.
And that's where I was going as you were making all those astute points is if you've got an injured quarterback, Andrew Whitworth, a former Cincinnati Bengal, so I love him to death.
Yeah.
And one of the biggest leaders in that locker room, holding it down on the left side, is Joe Noteboom ready for the call? Because you're talking about coming in an off-injured quarterback. He's going to loom large in everything we talk about with this team.
According to ESPN's FPI, 6.6% chance to repeat as Super Bowl champions. That's not really a big boost of confidence.
Well, think about it. They were a tart interception away from, being there.
It's
you need
hard
luck.
To eat.
Remind
them,
Jay.
It's hard to eat when you're full.
I do love
coming off
thing.
Of a championship, it's hard to eat when you're full.
Yeah, that's
no,
true.
It's not.
I was going to say, speak for yourself.
I can promise you.
Certain people at this table that feel like that and others that don't.
You better let them. No, it's not tough.
Wow.
I know.
Here we go.
I can eat when I'm full. Okay, let's go back to football because, guys,
watched you, right?
Last night actually had a football game. And we're going to count the preseason because from now up until mid-February, we have football, either college or NFL, every single week. So yay for that. The Raiders came out hot. They looked good last night against the Jags. And although we didn't get to see Derek Carr or Devontae Adams, we did see Josh Jacobs and rookies Zamir White, which now has us all itching for the real deal, the AFC West gauntlet. And so ESPN's FBI gives the Chargers the highest percentage chance to win the division. That's at 29%. The Chiefs, who have won six straight AFC West title, enter with the third highest percentage chance, with a 26% chance to win the division. And so this is the funnest game we could play really all day, all night. We can anyone out there, who is going to win the AFC West? Jay, I'll go to you first. Who are you taking? Because really, guys, the last place team could still have 10 wins and not make the postseason. Who are you taking away?
I really wish you didn't come to me on this one first because, I mean, look, nobody really knows. It could be the first place team, could be the last place team could be the first place team, right? I'm going with the best quarterback. And it's Justin Herbert.
Oh, yeah. Please.
Yeah, I'm doing it. I know. Hey, there had to be a hot take at some point. We've come 20 minutes.
First of all, 20 minutes into the show. I admire the delivery. You knew what you was doing there.
Justin Herbert is going to be the best quarterback this season.
Cap.
Look, Patrick Mahomes, when you look at the resume, clearly is ahead of Justin Herbert. Justin Herbert's new. He's new money. But when I look at this team, he has the capability to be the MVP. I think he's the odds-on favorite right now. So it's really not that crazy for me to say it. You look what that offense is. They got a great running game. They built that offensive line to protect their guy. It's on defense. That's where this group is going to be most improved. And you look at what they've got there. Let's go back to the Bears. Khalil Mack coming in there is going to be massive for this group. Joey Bosa, I think, leads the NFL in sacks this season. I'm going to go so far as to say that. And then you look at what they did to defend the run, because that's where the struggles really came with this group. And they brought in some bigger bodies, Sebastian Joseph Day, and you bring in Austin Johnson, and all of a sudden this group's better on third down. They're getting off the field. They're stopping the run. And Justin Herbert is going to be the best quarterback in the NFL this year. So for all those reasons, that's why I'm taking the Chargers.
Yeah, you know I'm not going with the Chargers. It's going to be the Kansas City Chiefs until otherwise notified. They've won 6 straight division titles, and I'm predicting that it's going to be a 7th straight.
We're talking about everything they're losing, though. That's
you can talk about them losing Tyreek Hill, and I understand that. But listen, that's just going to lead to Pat Mahomes operating more within the structure of the offense. And with Andy Reid and Eric Bieniemy dialing up the X's and O's, that could be a scary proposition. That's the thing that people are talking about. New pieces on the defense, but they're upgrades. George Karlaftis being able to be that bookend rusher with Frank Clark, and then you have Chris Jones, who's one of the best interior defensive linemen in all of football, and then adding on the back end with Trent McDuffie to go along with Legarius Sneed. Like, you're talking about the makings of a defense that's going to be much improved. So I like the direction that that unit is going in, and I thought they did a really good job of using the draft capital that they got for Tyreek Hill in order to help this team. But what they're going to be banking on is Pat Mahomes being a force multiplier. When it comes to Juju Smith-Schuster and MVS and Sky Moore and Mecole Hardman, like, you're hoping that the sum is greater than the individual parts,
right?
And that's where Pat Mahomes is going to have to MacGyver this thing. But I trust him and Andy Reid to be able to figure it out, because guess what? That's all they do. And so in looking at this situation, I'm hard-pressed to pick against the Kansas City Chiefs.
Yeah. And when you look at, like, the quarterbacks and the head coaches in this division, those two have the longest staying power thus far.
Absolutely.
Who are you going with? Chargers, Chiefs?
Come on over.
I'm coming to the Chargers. I picked the Chargers before this argument, but I got to be honest with you, Chris. I listened very carefully to everything you said, and you said some things in there that made me feel even more sure. Because you said a word, hope. I hope they are hoping that the sum is greater than the parts. And you also said that they are going to go out there with, you named some guys on defense that I think are going to be the answer. But you said two things that contradicted each other. You said you wanted Patrick Mahomes to play within the structure of the offense,
yep,
and then also be a force multiplier.
Yep.
You can't be both. You're going to have
offense. No, you can absolutely be both.
Okay.
You can absolutely be both.
But that's so different than what he's always been.
I don't
want to make my argument around arguing against the Chiefs, because that's a bad idea. The Chiefs are going to be good. Patrick Mahomes is very great. That's all going to be fine. But if you look at teams' timelines, this is the time when the Chiefs are in rebuild mode, so to speak. And for the Chargers, they are in win-now mode. Mm-hmm. They still have a quarterback under rookie contract. They have an all-pro level left tackle under rookie contract. They got possibly the best football player on their whole team. No one said his name yet. It's Derwin James under a rookie contract.
Is he going to be available? Is he going to be available?
That's a question for a lot of those guys, too.
Yeah, okay. I mean, football's dangerous. I don't know if you know.
So you got to tell me I played defensive tackle for over a decade. Yeah, I know.
Things happen out there.
I was a hooper.
So the point I'm making is right now is the time for them, and their quarterback, I am not brave enough to say he's going to be the best in the
I
certainly don't think it's crazy, but Patrick Mahomes is crazy when he gets out there on the field. So I'm not going to say anyone's better than him right now, especially anyone whose name is not Josh Allen. But I do think that he is capable to be in that field. You put all that together, and if their weakest point is to be able to stop the run, that's a pretty solid football team.
Are we really going to ride with the Chargers team that lost 3 of their last 4 games?
No.
To
Shay, we're not.
In the last 2 months,
no, Shay, no, Shay,
but what cost them?
Shay, we're not going to
cost them. The run defense.
No, the play calling from Brandon Staley is what cost them.
Last year was last year.
Zach Taylor struggled with play calling. They went to the Super Bowl.
Yeah, okay, but Brandon Staley is the one that's saying, I want to go for it on 4th and 1 in every single situation. How's it working out for you? How's it working out for you? Here's the thing, guys. We're playing in the AFC West, which is arguably the best division since the NFL did division realignment in 2002.
Huh? I said not arguably. That's the group of death is the group of death.
But that's my point. You're going to be playing a lot of close games. Right. So it comes down to what quarterback do you trust the most in those close spots? And it ain't Justin Herbert based on the resume.
No, I'm
it's
with
not.
You, Canty.
I'm rolling with Pat Mahomes, the guy that has never played a road playoff game. That's the guy that I want.
Y'all got to let me clean something up because I have respect for my Twitter timeline. I did not say that Herbert was better than Mahomes. I said Herbert has a better season this year than Mahomes. Okay. And I stand by that.
Don't respect that.
Can I go with a different team? The team that I think I heard all of y'all say was just a quarterback away from winning it, and that would be the Broncos. And now they have that quarterback in I think last season they were the third best red zone defense. They were the third best scoring defense. Yep. That's the defensive side of the ball. And now they bring in Russell Wilson, and obviously they have a new offensive scheme. To me, give me what was a quarterback away AFC West.
It's too much new to me. And
what do you mean? The Chargers are practically brand new,
Are we going to mention Tim Patrick? Because that looms large for a Broncos team there. I mean, there's still things that are bigger question marks there. That's why I like the Chargers more, and that's why I would probably even go Chiefs more. I think the Broncos are the last place team.
Here's the thing, Shay, and to piggyback on your point, the Broncos have the best defense in this division.
100%.
And they have an emerging star at running back in Javonte Williams. That's somebody that nobody talks about enough. That kid can play. And then you look at the receiving core, even without Tim Patrick, you got Jerry Jeudy, K.J. Hamler, and Courtland
Sutton.
The
fastest receiving core.
It's all there for them. They have a solid offensive line. Yep. I mean, it's all there for the Denver Broncos. And, again, we're talking about another quarterback that has a great track record when it comes to winning close games. Every single game in this division is going to be closely contested.
Can I just point out something, you guys? Ready? Hembo gave me this. It's so good. Seahawks went from 7 to 11 wins in Wilson's first season. Yep. The offense went from 23rd to 9th. The Broncos had the 23rd ranked offense last season, and they also won 7 games. So this is setting up perfectly for a Russell Wilson MVP, everybody. Perfectly. Never gotten a vote. It changes this
year. Russell Wilson is trying to get a bag, too.
Yeah.
Because he's trying to impress that new ownership group to get that new contract.
I'm already stunned the level of disrespect for the Raiders here. I mean, they had the Bengals who went to the Super Bowl on the ropes, on the road in the first round of the playoffs. They were a playmaker away. When we're talking about one piece away, playmaker away. Devontae Adams is there. What are we doing?
And they got another playmaker on defense with Chandler Jones.
That's like another. I mean, that's why I can confidently say I feel like the Broncos, give me them at 4. I like all those other 3 teams ahead of them. And they're still going to have a good season.
That is preposterous. And I would like to formally change my opinion. I'm joining up with the only smart person at this table, is Shay.
Smart.
Broncos
that's
country.
Always your best one.
Broncos country.
Come on,
let's ride.
Oh, no. Come on. Why did you do that?
I said, let's ride.
Why did you do it?
Come on over.
Broncos country.
You can't do that to Keenan.
Let's ride.
Let's talk about home field advantage. Arrowhead, yes. I'm sorry. Mile High now has true home field advantage. Yeah. Not only with
the team.
You
can't even breathe up there.
You can't even breathe.
Let's
Let
ride.
Let everyone come. Take an L.
Let's ride.
Let's go. Broncos. Maybe later I'll ride with you on the Chiefs. Maybe.
Exactly.
We'll see what happens.
Exactly.
We're the merry ones here. We got to figure out how to stick together.
I know. We can never stick together on set. It's like in other places.
Hey, I'm Molly Karam, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. Have you ridden an electric bike yet? Well, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes today, the number one selling e-bike in America. 2 things stand out that bikers love about Lectric. Number one, the majority of their models come pre-assembled, so you don't need to be a bike savant to ride them. Number two, Lectric wants to empower riders to more exploring time outside on their bikes, so they've made range a priority. Long-range batteries allow riders to hit typically around 65 miles of range for up to 150 miles on some models. Bonus, Lectric has purposefully priced their bikes to be affordably awesome, so you don't have to break the bank to get these sweet rides. See why people who have made the switch to electric bikes have fallen in love with biking again by visiting lectricebikes.com. That's L-E-C-T-R-I-C ebikes.com. Hey, Molly Karam here, and thanks so much for listening to the First Take podcast. We all know breakfast is part of your day, but sometimes when you're traveling for business, you end up staying at a hotel that doesn't offer any, and you know what happens. You grab a cup of coffee, you skip the meal entirely. We've all been there. But if you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you can enjoy their free Bright Side breakfast featuring delicious baked goods, fruit, eggs, yogurt, even waffles. And really, who doesn't want to start their day with a fresh hot waffle? Come on. Tonight, La Quinta, tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code FIRSTTAKE and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to gamble responsibly. See BetMGM.com for terms. This U.S. promotional offer not available in D.C., Mississippi, North Carolina, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 for New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. For Massachusetts, 1-800-327-5050. For Iowa, 1-800-BETS-OFF. For Puerto Rico, 1-800-981-0023. For West Virginia, visit 1-800-GAMBLER.net. First bet offer for new customers only. Subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel.
Welcome back to First Take. So we are under 40 days until the NFL season officially kicks off, and that's when the Bills travel to face the defending Super Bowl champion Rams in week one of the NFL season. And yet again, everyone high on Josh Allen and the Bills. And they've had a chippy camp, which Allen says is actually a good thing.
Sometimes it's necessary. You know, good teams sometimes fight. You know, guys want it so bad. Guys are very competitive. Guys push each other. So you saw a little tempers flare again today. And again, that's all because we want to win. We want to work really hard. We want to beat the guys across from us, and that doesn't matter who it is. But it's good to see the intensity right now coming out from, you know, both sides of the football and the whole team, because again, we just want to win football games.
Man, I don't know. If you're a football fan and you saw the way the Bills went down last postseason, I think we all felt something, right?
13 seconds.
I could rewatch it over and over again. It was one of the best games of the entire NFL season last year. So, of course, they're going to come out chippy and they're going to come out hungry. Josh Allen, though, has clearly established himself as one of the better quarterbacks in the National Football League. But the question is now, will he this upcoming season establish himself as the quarterback in the NFL?
No.
Okay. And just like that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sorry I didn't build up the anticipation, but it just feels to me that, so I was like not a Josh Allen believer at the beginning of his career. And he like justified my concerns by how he played. And then Stephon Diggs got there, and now I think he is amongst the best. There's not another quarterback out there that I'm saying, absolutely, give me him over Josh Allen because of all the things he can do, arm strength, accuracy, and, of course, his athleticism. Let's not forget that this man was jumping over defenders early in his career.
Right.
But all
and
that
durable
stuff,
throughout
yeah,
it all.
And, yeah, and all that stuff is really impressive and great and gives him the skill and ability to potentially be that guy, but that feels so disrespectful to everybody else. Like, this league is loaded with quarterbacks. To say that he is going to solidify himself as better than not only Patrick Mahomes, the guy he lost to in that crazy playoff game, but also Aaron Rodgers, Joe Burrow, Herbert. Like, this league is loaded with great, great quarterbacks.
Tom Brady.
Lamar Jackson.
Lamar Jackson to Tom Brady. Tom Brady, too. Have to put him in there also.
That guy.
Yeah, that guy, too, who's won 7 Super Bowls. So, I mean no disrespect to Josh Allen. He is going to be, if he won the MVP, I wouldn't be shocked. But as the dude, like, I don't know if there is anybody who is capable of being the dude in the NFL outside of Patrick Mahomes because of the track record that he set up. If he can go back to those 50 touchdown type of years, then maybe we say he's far and away the best guy and do it without Tyreek Hill. Maybe. But it's hard for me to see Josh Allen having such a great year that we're like, oh, he's the guy, nobody else. That's wild.
And all I'll add, because I know you're going to go the other side with this, Canty, is they put him in position to be the guy guy that you're talking about. Yeah. The continuity there by that franchise to say, we're going to give you the weapons. We're going to protect you. We're going to have a competent coordinator that's going to be there working with you throughout. And Daboll, now he's gone. And Ken Dorsey's going to be fine stepping in there.
Yeah, because he was the quarterback.
Because he was a quarterback's coach, and the relationship is there. But yet still, for all the reasons that Dominique mentioned, there's just too many other guys that I like ahead of him and have more confidence in. But the confidence is high with Josh Allen.
Well, here's why I say he can do it, because Dom's talking about Pat Mahomes and the track record. Well, if Josh Allen, on his way to winning a championship, beats Pat Mahomes at some place in the AFC playoffs, then all of a sudden, yeah, we're looking at Josh Allen and saying, yeah, he might be the dude. He might be wearing the crown for now. And all I'm simply looking at is the physical abilities that Josh Allen is bringing to the table. There's nobody out there that has more arm strength than Josh Allen. There's nobody out there that can bring their own blocker like Josh Allen can, because you're talking about him being every bit the runner that Cam Newton was. So when he gets to the second level, he's not looking to only run around linebackers and defensive backs. He can run over them as well. So that's the part that I think he has bowled in his favor as well. The continuity within the organization. Also, the supporting cast. You're talking about the only team in the National Football League that's bringing back a top five offense and a top 10 defense. And so when you look at Josh Allen, it's all set up for him to have success. I think you got to have some hardware if we're going to call you the best quarterback in the National Football League. And I just look at his path to getting to the playoffs. I mean, Shay, you're probably hard-pressed to find a team that has an easier road to winning their division than the Buffalo Bills. Maybe you want to say the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Maybe you want to say the Indianapolis Colts. But there's no team that has an easier road to getting to the playoffs than the Buffalo Bills. And I think they have the inside track to get the number one seed in the conference, which means they're starting the playoffs in the divisional round. So I like how this all sets up for Josh Allen to have a wildly productive season.
It's also criteria, right? Like, how are you judging this? If you go Super Bowls, it's Tom Brady. If you go resume, it's Tom Brady. If you go less with more, it's Lamar Jackson. If you go pure talent, it's Aaron Rodgers. So these guys all at their best, I just can't pick Josh Allen. I think that's why I couldn't do this.
Give me the field?
Give me the field.
A field that involves Aaron Rodgers.
You're never going to go Josh Allen.
And Lamar Jackson? Yes. You give me that field? I'll take that field.
And in my opinion, I feel like this is where Josh Allen likes to be. He doesn't need to be the best guy in the National Football League. Like, the Buffalo Bills kind of like, not that they fly under the radar, because they're not surprising anyone at this point. But hasn't Josh Allen proved to us all we need to see? I mean, you mentioned durability. He hasn't missed a game in three seasons. Him and Dan Marino have the most combined passing and rushing touchdowns in their career. I mean, he's done enough for us to consider him one of the elite talents. Does he need to be the best? I don't even feel like that's the Buffalo Bills' MO anyway.
But here's the thing, Shay, he's not that far off. In the survey that Jeremy Fowler did a couple of weeks ago with NFL executives and GMs, Josh Allen checked in at third behind Aaron Rodgers and Pat Mahomes. I mean, he's right there already.
Right.
The only thing that we haven't seen him do is have high-level winning, which is getting past the AFC Championship to a Super Bowl and holding up a Lombardi trophy.
Shay, you threw some shade on the Bills Mafia there. You said that that's what they like. They just want to be around?
Kind of.
You said they're not about it.
Don't have the whole Bills Mafia coming after me.
They hate me already. I got your back. Come and see me.
They don't need to be talked about like the Kansas City Chiefs or the Packers. Like,
that's fair.
They don't mind creeping in and have a little bit of grit, I think. And so I think Josh Allen has shown us everything he needs to show us. They just need to now win. And go to a Super
Really quick, because I listen too. And most importantly, I listen to my wife. And you mentioned Josh Allen and those stats with Dan Marino. Was Dan Marino ever considered the best during his time?
I mean,
because of who was around him. He was great. He's a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, I was I was a baby, but when we look back on it, we don't talk about Dan Marino the way we talk about Joe Montana.
And so that comparison with those numbers is the fairest one.
Right.
Because Dan Marino never did what? Which Josh Allen, very still early in his career, hasn't done yet.
Yeah.
He hasn't got the hardware. So maybe when that comes, maybe that could be the differentiator, because he's on the path of a Dan Marino-like career right now. He goes to get something like that, then he's in rarer air.
Yeah.
Then we're looking at Josh different. Then he's up there with the Aaron Rodgers. Right, because Aaron's only won one as well. So then he can kind of move towards that.
But I will say this, if his career arc continues to trend in the same direction, we're talking about Josh Allen continuing to improve and build
on
the numbers that he said. Like, you're saying that he can't.
I don't really know how he can be better than he is right now.
You're saying that he can, but you're talking about a quarterback that's probably the most physically gifted of any quarterback in the
NFL.
That's
fair, but he showed us that last year. Like, he can't. You said continue on the trajectory. This was Josh Allen his first couple years, and then he did this. No one has ever done that in the history of football. And you want him to continue on that, like,
yes,
that 90-degree trajectory?
We're going this way. He can't get any better.
I guess maybe he can get better in, like, late game. No, we watched that playoff game that he lost. You couldn't ask any more. He threw 4 touchdowns to 1 player. Like, he can't get much better.
13 seconds.
Didn't he throw, like, 17 touchdowns the week before?
In a perfect game.
The week before against
13 seconds changes his life.
So we're saying a guy that's going into his fifth season can't get better.
I'm saying
we're saying he can't get better.
Yes.
Wow.
Better than that? Did you watch?
He can't get better. 26 years old, he can't get better?
You're arguing against yourself.
How he gonna get better?
You're arguing against yourself.
How so?
You barely had him in a top 5, Josh Allen. And you put someone like who I love, Joe Burrow. Don't come at me. I love Joe Burrow, but you put Joe Burrow even ahead of him, who, yes, went to a Super Bowl last year. But
Joe Burrow can actually be better.
Are we only counting the games, or are we counting the body of work?
No, I'm with you. I'm not putting Joe Burrow ahead of him. I'm saying that all these players are in the same area. And if you're saying that Josh Allen is going to somehow separate himself from these guys, I don't see how it happens. Yeah. If you think Josh Allen is going to get better, this may sound like I'm like insulting him, but I'm not. I'm giving a compliment. He can't get better. Like, he don't have a 99 on Madden, but they should give him one. Because the way that he was playing is exceptional. And so if what he needs to separate himself is the championship,
yep.
I have a hard time feeling confident that he is going to do that this year. Not because their division. The AFC is so hard.
Yeah,
all the quarterbacks that I name are so good. Like, he's going to have to win championships. Whether it's fair or not, he's going to have to win championships, multiple championships, for us to start talking about him as he that dude, and then there's everybody else. I just don't see that happening.
Yeah, but you're talking about the AFC being so tough. If the Buffalo Bills get the number one seed in the conference, you're talking about them being one of 4 teams that can get to the Super Bowl rather than being 1 of 7. So, I mean, all of a sudden, you're talking about them having a distinct advantage, and Josh Allen having an opportunity, a clear pathway to getting there. And if he beats Lamar Jackson or Justin Herbert or Pat Mahomes
or Joe Burrow,
any of those quarterbacks on his way to doing it.
Not or.
And.
Yeah, he's going to have to beat all of them.
Okay, and guess what? If he does that, are you at that point ready to call him the best quarterback in the National Football League?
Nope, he's going to have to do it again the next season.
Like,
to separate yourself, though, that's the point I'm making. It's Mahomes got a championship and Mahomes got an MVP.
Well, somebody
got
to wear the crown, Dom. No, somebody's got to be the best quarterback in the NFL, and I get that.
No, they don't. You don't have to. You don't have to abide by these lists. They don't have. I can
say.
They
want one MVP, dog.
You can do a tier. You can do a tier. He's on the top tier, as far as I'm concerned.
No question.
Okay,
there's
he is never going to elevate to another tier that everyone else is below him.
So you're saying that? So you're saying that none of these quarterbacks can prove to separate themselves and be the best quarterback in the NFL? Is that the argument that you're making?
No. Maybe, but I wouldn't bet on it. You can go ahead and do that if you want to, because what you're doing is saying that the rest of them ain't going to play
as
well.
That's the beauty of where the NFL's at right now.
It
could be the Bills' turn this year.
Yeah.
It could be the Bengals'. It will be the Bengals' turn this year for a Bengals fan. But all of these teams is going to be spread around. I mean, this crop of quarterbacks is otherworldly.
Yeah,
look at just the AFC West we just got done talking about. That's
really
why I agree with Dom. What Dom's saying is it's too difficult. There's too many talented ones for one to just soar above and go chip, chip, chip.
I feel like y'all are punting on the argument, man. We got to pick somebody to be the best quarterback in the National Football League, and y'all are saying, oh, it's all of these guys in Tier 1. All right.